is a $50 credit to post a sponsored job, boosting your listing and relevant search results and helping you find qualified candidates faster. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
President Trump is calling out Connecticut Senator Richard Blumenthal for deceptions that Blumenthal made about his service in Vietnam.
President Trump attacked Connecticut Democrat Richard Blumenthal in a series of tweets this morning, again criticizing Senator Blumenthal for lying about his service during the Vietnam War. Trump ripped Blumenthal as a, quote, phony Vietnam con artist. Blumenthal said at a ceremony nearly a decade ago that he served in Vietnam. He actually was in a stateside Marine Corps reserve unit.
Tesla is going to wade into the junk bond market for the first time to raise money for increased production of its newest electric vehicle. The company is targeting about $1.5 billion in bond offerings to increase production of the Tesla 3 sedan. Tesla 3 has a base price of $35,000. More than 500,000 pre-orders for the car have been made. And people in three states cleaning up after wicked weather. A tornado left 30 people injured and a number of homes damaged in Tulsa, Oklahoma. USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn for pre1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I've found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll-free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre1933.com.
Well, he may be young, but he knows what he wants to do for the rest of his life, and that's serve the country in space. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler.
Jack Davis sent a letter to NASA after hearing about a job opening for a planetary protection officer, someone who protects the Earth from tiny microbes brought back from space samples. The fourth grader said he's seen a lot of space movies and is great at video games. He also wrote because he's nine, he's young enough to learn to think like an alien. NASA actually contacted Jack, telling him to study hard and apply again in the future. Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
A company that was trying to reclaim the swastika as a symbol of love and peace, getting a little backlash for their action. Here's Mark Mayfield.
KA Designs is selling the shirts on the Teespring website in a variety of styles and colors. Before the Nazis started using the symbol, it was and continues to be a design used by Hindus and Buddhists to represent good fortune, among other things. Israeli Jewish Congress CEO Arsen Ostrovsky says the shirts are obscene and that the swastika is an irredeemable Nazi symbol of hate and murder.
A new report is saying that troops at risk of suicide are not getting the help they need from the Pentagon. The study says only 30% of troops with depression and 54% with PTSD got the care they needed after they were found to be at the risk of harming themselves. No official statement from the VA regarding this study. Get more news online at usaradio.com.
Weather this afternoon, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain. High near 69. Southwest wind around 6 miles per hour. Chance of precipitation is 100%. New rainfall amounts between a quarter and half of an inch possible. Tuesday, mostly cloudy, then gradually sunny, with a high near 81, northwest wind, 6 to 11 miles per hour. Tuesday night, mostly clear, with a low around 54. Northwest wind around 5 miles per hour, becoming calm in the evening. Wednesday, sunny, with a high near 83, light and variable wind. Wednesday night, mostly clear, with a low around 61. Good afternoon. This is Tracy Ivey. I am substituting for Larry Cartwright, host of Hunterdon Medical Center's Wellness Hour. And today we have as our guest Karen McClellan. Did I say that right? She is a lactation consultant at Hunterdon Medical Center. Karen, what is your role at the medical center? Great. Okay. Can you tell us how your job at HMC helps to promote moms to breastfeed their babies. And Karen, if you would put the mic right close to your mouth, that's great. Go ahead.
So we have a lot of programs there to help before and after the moms. We prenatally, we teach a breastfeeding class to help give them the knowledge base to feel a little more confident with their choice to breastfeed. And then while they're in the hospital, we have the baby's room in with them so they're never separated, or we try to minimize them being separated so the babies are with them. And we have the moms spend usually the first 1 to 2 hours with the babies just laying skin to skin, which just doing that actually increases the breastfeeding success rate by about 80%. So just having the babies close by and skin to skin with the mom really, you know, helps with that. And then one of the lactation nurses, there's several of us that share the job. We're usually there every day. And our regular nurses, the maternity floor nurses, all have education and competencies with regarding breastfeeding. So everybody's there to help the moms. And then once they're discharged, they can follow up with us as outpatients. We have a phone number they can call all the time. And we do a free monthly breastfeeding support group the first Thursday in the month at the hospital.
So things have changed a little bit since when I breastfed my children. You said that the children, the babies stay in the room with the mother the entire time or just during the breastfeeding?
No, the entire time. We no longer have a well nursery. So the babies, it's called rooming in. So the babies are in the rooms with their moms. They're not separated. They most everything is done at the bedside. So the neonatologist is doing the assessments there. The audiologist is doing the hearing screens. They're getting their immunizations right there at the bedside. Mm-hmm. Any blood testing that's needed to be done for any reason is done right there. So we're really keeping the moms and the babies and the dads, and it's one family unit all together, mm-hmm. just to support the mom.
Okay. So how soon after the baby is born do you make your entrance?
You know, it depends. Sometimes they'll call right away within the first 1 to 2 hours after delivery. I'll go in and just, you know, help facilitate that initial latch if for any reason they're having any trouble. But mostly we see them the second morning. So they have their first day, and then we'll see them at least once or twice before they're discharged, go over any education, and just make sure things are off to a good start. And if they're having issues, they have we carry cell phones. They just call us, and we come right back in.
Do any of them text?
Well, there's quite a few of them out there that actually have my home email address from when I used to teach a lot. And we follow them quite a bit.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
You know, it's quite funny living and working in the community.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people see me and know me, so mm-hmm. which is nice to have that follow-up years later.
Mm-hmm. How does breastfeeding help to protect babies?
Well, there's all kinds of benefits. I mean, the most important thing that I would say is, you know, just the immune protection that you get from the mom, from having less risk of developing, you know, allergies, food allergies, less risk of being hospitalized, actually, with any kind of respiratory or GI infection. Long-term, less risk for asthma, diabetes, obesity, heart disease. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Mm-hmm. So, is breast milk easier for babies to digest?
It is, because it's made for our babies. So it has, there's no, you don't have to worry so much about the food allergies, about the components of the breaking down the cow's milk, which was made for cows, not for babies. So it's much easier for them to digest. They get all the nutrients out of it. And the interesting thing along with the digestive is usually the breastfed poops don't smell quite as much as formula-fed babies, so which is nice. You don't have to have those stinky poops to change.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned earlier that you think the trend is more toward breastfeeding in recent years.
Yeah, people are more educated about some of the risks and benefits of breastfeeding versus formula feeding. And I think in general, the population is trying to eat more green, so they're eating more organic, more clean diets. So along with that, you see the moms being more educated about what they put in their bodies, so therefore they want to be more educated about what they put in their baby's bodies. So I definitely think the trend is coming back around. You know, through history,
what time frame you're in. But I think I definitely see more, there's more and more moms that attempt breastfeeding and go into it with the mindset that they're going to breastfeed.
Okay. How is breastfeeding beneficial to the mother?
Well, for the mom, usually it, you know, it helps get that uterus back nice and tight after the baby's born, so they have less bleeding, quicker weight loss. Breastfeeding actually burns an extra 500 calories a day. And then you look at lower risk for developing osteoporosis, ovarian cancers, breast cancers, and osteoporosis. And if you were gestational diabetic, so if you were diabetic during your pregnancy, if you breastfeed for at least 6 months, you can reset that back so you will not, hopefully not develop gestational diabetes as you age.
Mm-hmm.
So just definitely helpful.
Okay. And how does that happen? Do you know?
I don't know. And it's that, you know, just, you know,
I like
it. Cancers. I think that it affects the estrogen levels and some
right.
stuff like that,
mm-hmm.
which helps with the cancers. And I think because when you my guess would be with the diabetes is because you're breastfeeding and burning calories, your metabolism becomes more efficient. And I think, you know, it would help you manage, you know, clearing the sugars and stuff from your system would be
mm-hmm.
my guess.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're going to take a quick break. Just 1 minute.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is the Hunterdon Medical Center radio show, and we're back with Karen McClellan, a lactation consultant there. Karen, what are some tips you can offer new moms on getting off to a good start with breastfeeding their newborn?
Well, I think the best way to do it is just get some education, attend one of our classes, read about it, talk to friends and family that maybe have breastfed. And then once you're in the hospital, the most important thing really is, as much in that first 24 hours, keep that baby, you know, skin to skin, bare-chested, laying on your chest, just, you know, kind of cuddled up with a blanket over the both of you, and kind of just let nature do what it needs to do. And, you know, the babies aren't going to breastfeed unless they're in the environment, so they really need to be close. The other advice I would give new moms is, I know everybody's super excited to come see that baby, but you really want to think about, if your goal is to get that baby breastfeeding, what visitors do you want in your room while you're trying to facilitate that? If you're comfortable with, you know, all the grandparents and aunts and uncles being there, you know, great. But if you really think you need some privacy, I used to give my moms, when I taught Lamaze, I would say, you know, you have about 24, 48 hours to figure out how to breastfeed. Grandparents have a lifetime to love that baby, so they can wait a little bit to make sure you get, you know, things off and running the right way.
You know, as far as the privacy issue, I think the clothing manufacturers are getting a lot more sophisticated with different types of blouses and bras. And I know I used to use a scarf. I mean, are women more comfortable with nursing in public?
You know, I think that's a case by case, but there definitely is. There's some great new clothing out there. The nursing bras are so much easier to use. They have covers. They have, you know, you could always use a blanket. And I usually tell moms, you know, once they get breastfeeding well established and they're having their good role and, you know, if things are working out well, just try breastfeeding in different spots in your house. So, you know, when you first start, you're in your glider rocker and you're nice and comfortable,
right?
And then you're afraid to do it anywhere else. So I tell them, you know, try sitting at the kitchen table, try sitting on the couch, and just different locations in your house, and build your confidence level so that you could go out and maybe do it sitting on a park bench, you know, discreetly, and practice all of that so that when you go out, you can kind of do it. And if somebody gives you a look, I usually just smile back and nod and go about my business.
It really is a question of confidence for, especially for new mothers, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think becoming a parent is one of the hardest roles that you take on, and just not knowing. And, you know, breastfeeding is something you have to just believe is going to work and trust your body. Your body knew how to grow the baby. You didn't think about growing a kidney when it was, you know, this many weeks gestation or an eyelash and any of that. So the baby came out with all its parts where it was supposed to be, and your body did that. So just trusting in your body to take that next step to be able to, you know, feed your baby.
What do you think is a common challenge that new breastfeeding moms face that might be easy for you to solve for them?
You know, I think just the reassurance, believing that things are going to work. I think the big thing is, you know, they're always worried, is the baby getting enough? And, you know, I go back to basics with that. If you're feeding the baby, you know, 8 to 12 times in a 24-hour period, and, you know, we encourage moms to keep track of the wet and poopy diapers, because if something's coming out, then something was going in. So you definitely, you know, can keep track of that. You know, do the breasts feel fuller before you feed, lighter after a feed? Those are all indications that breastfeeding is working well. And if they're still not sure, we always tell them they can come either to the support group or up on the maternity floor, and we can do where we weigh the baby, and then we have moms sit and nurse and feed, and then we weigh the baby again. And when the baby's a week old, I can say to the mom, look, the baby just transferred 1 to 2 ounces of milk. So there you go. It's working. You know, we're doing it. So sometimes just giving that validation early on in the first 2 weeks, I think really helps to boost their confidence level.
So once someone leaves the hospital, what is your involvement? You're talking about the first 2 weeks.
The first 2 weeks, you know, when they leave, you know, when they're discharged, we give them all the information about call, you know, our phone numbers, the support group information. And, you know, sometimes the moms call us and we talk them through over the phone. Sometimes I'll say to them, you know, why don't you come back in and we'll see you as an outpatient consult and, you know, make sure things are going the right way and just sort of give them that validation that things are working.
Okay, so talk a little bit more about the support group. Is this something that happens once a week or how often?
Well, once a month, the first Thursday of the month between 12 and 1, we do a breastfeeding support group, and I'm usually the one that facilitates that. And then every Thursday from 1 to 2:30, we do the Baby Steps support group, which Jean Gemelli runs. And that we cover, we also cover breastfeeding in there, but we go over other things like sleeping issues and, you know, issues with moms. Are they recovering okay? We'll address any postpartum depression issues, you know, things along those lines. And we always have a baby scale there. So if moms are concerned if their babies aren't gaining weight, we can kind of just, you know, but here's the scale. Let's just double check before you, you know, in between your pediatrician visits, just to make sure things are going okay in those early weeks.
So Thursday is baby day at Hunter Medical Center.
It is.
Okay. Getting back to something you covered a little bit before, how do you know the baby is getting enough food?
Well, it really goes back to those basics, like I said. You know, in the early days, the first couple days, the baby's stomach is so small. So while the baby's in the hospital, it's just taking, you know, maybe drops, teaspoons, tablespoons of breast milk. When the baby's about 3 to 5 days old is when the milk transitions in, and then you'll see the babies are drinking maybe a half ounce or an ounce. When they're 5 to 7 days old, it's usually pretty consistently 1 to 2 ounces and at a feeding. And then when they're older, it's about 3 to 5 ounces. So how we do is we keep track of that. But the big thing is the diapers. So the first 24 hours, the baby has to have one wet diaper and one poopy diaper. Day 2, 2 wet diapers, 2 poopy diapers. And then once they're 3, 4 days old, you see the stool starts to look more of a mustard yellow, and that means your milk is coming in. And then once the baby's 6 days old, they need to have at least 6 wet diapers a day, mm-hmm. and they need to poop every day. Could okay. be more, but at least that. And sometimes I'll tell moms, if they're not sure, take a dry diaper and actually pour an ounce of water into it and feel how heavy that is against a dry diaper. And then you can be like, oh, wow, this is a really heavy, wet diaper. This baby really did pee a lot. Because the new diapers are so super absorbent, it's hard to tell. Are they wet? Are they dry? Like, how much is in here? So this way it gives them a gauge. They can verify.
Just by how it feels. Well, I was wondering when you were saying, you know, 1 to 2 ounces and so forth, who's measuring? Or
right.
Is there, do you ever squeeze out? You can't squeeze out the water. I mean,
no, but that's what I'm saying. So sometimes if you just take the dry diaper and get a sense,
yeah, okay.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the scale, when we weigh them, you can clearly see 1 to 2 ounce difference.
I think so that's probably the most reassuring thing
for
moms.
First-time moms.
Gaining
yet.
Weight, right.
Especially now, you know, we're a very scientific generation. Everybody wants the proof. They want it measured. They want it quantified.
Right.
You know, and it's, so that's why I think doing the feeds and the ways is very reassuring to first-time moms.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there a recommended duration for mothers to breastfeed their children? How long?
Well, American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, you know, breast milk exclusively for the first 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then at 6 months, you start introducing, you know, your foods, your table foods, and still continue breastfeeding up until a year. And then after a year, their statement is kind of open-ended where they say it's mutually beneficial to mother and child.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some research that actually shows brain development is... you know, breastfeeding is effective for brain development until the age of 2. So what's interesting to me is in this country, we fall short of meeting our mark of 12 months. Most of our moms only breastfeed about 6 months. And worldwide, they breastfeed till their kids are 4, which is, you know, interesting. But that's in areas where they don't have access to clean water. And, you know, when the World Health Organization, they're looking globally mm-hmm. when they look at those numbers.
So do you know what the world average is by any chance?
For breastfeeding?
Yes.
To the age of 4.
That's the average?
Yeah, mm-hmm. out of this country, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I had no idea. Okay. And so you mentioned something to me before the show about one of the reasons women stop earlier is they're going back to work and it's just not practical. Or are they expressing their milk so that they can...
Well, some moms do, you know, start pumping and they'll pump when they're at work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is difficult. You know, most moms, if they're going back to work, we don't live and work as close as we used to years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So we have our moms that are commuting. We have moms that commute to the city
yeah.
for, you know, high-pressure jobs. And, mm-hmm. you know, when you're gone 12 hours, it's really difficult to maintain your milk supply. You know, so some moms set priorities and they change jobs or they work from home or
some come in with coolers, I guess. Right.
You come
with
in with
ice.
Your cooler, you come in with your breast pump and you
mm-hmm.
pump away and you
right.
know, which for some moms is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it is hard to pump when you're not with your baby. So I'll usually, you know, when you're separated for that long. And so I tell them, you know, take pictures of the baby, pull them up on your phone. You know, maybe call the babysitter, check in, see how the baby's doing, and, you know, those kind of things to help with production when you're separated sometimes can help.
Right. And for anyone who's listening outside of our coverage area, we're at least an hour from Manhattan when you talk about going into the city. So
that's on a good
depending
day.
Depending on how you get there, you know, that's the hour you've got to have. That milk stay cold. That's
right.
important.
Right, absolutely.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about some reasons why women may choose not to breastfeed.
You know, it's interesting. You know, some people, you know, there are, you know, the rare occasion where some moms just don't produce enough milk if somebody had underdeveloped, like adolescent breasts and didn't have a lot of breast tissue, if there's some thyroid problems. But typically speaking, most moms can, you know, produce enough milk. Some will choose, you know, they don't want to be, they feel that breastfeeding is maybe ties them down too much to the baby, mm-hmm. you know, so they don't want to. Some are just, you know, I really think if we did a better job of educating moms while they were pregnant, they might make some different choices.
Why don't we talk about, you mentioned how you got into it.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Sometimes
it's a
I laugh.
Good story.
You know, I think my husband and my kids sometimes worry how much I talk about them. But when I was pregnant with my first years ago, my husband and I were at Babies R Us trying to register for all the crazy things you think you need to be a new mom. And I was standing there in front of, and anybody who's been in Babies R Us knows, or whatever, you know, store you're going to buy your baby products in, and there's a ton of nipples and bottles, and they all say, this one's better, that one's better, this one, you don't have to burp the baby, that one gives less air, this, and it's so overwhelming. And I just looked at my husband and I said, you know what, I don't need any of these, I have two breasts, I think we're good, we can skip this department. And you know, 25 years ago when I was in nursing school, if you would have said this is what I was going to do with my nursing career, I would have said you were crazy. I'm not going to be doing any of this kind of stuff. So you just never know.
Did you start out in general nursing before you became a lactation consultant or what?
Yeah, I worked for a long time for a cardiologist, and I worked mm-hmm. in a cardiac cath lab before I had my kids. Mm-hmm. And I also helped supervise community blood drives out in the community for the blood bank. So this is a completely different career choice after having my children. But I just felt after I had my first that not a lot of people were really educated, even in the medical profession, about breastfeeding and really how it worked. So it kind of just took on a life of its own, and I started helping other moms, and people would call me, and one thing led to another. And I actually, at the hospital, I volunteered for probably about 2 years to get experience so I could help the moms with breastfeeding and get enough contact hours to be able to sit for lactation boards. Mm-hmm. So that was how I kind of got my way in.
No, you have to be certified to be yes. a lactation mm-hmm. consultant.
And it's an international exam. It's actually probably one of the hardest exams I've ever taken. Because you have to know, like, international medicine.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting. All right. We have to take a commercial break. Just one moment, please.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pamby's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pamby's Purely Delicious ice cream, gelato, and sorbet made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31 south of Clinton. Pamby's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hello, and we're back. Karen, how can someone learn more about the classes or if they have any questions about breastfeeding? Do you have a website?
Well, they can always go on the hospital website, huntertonhealthcare.org, and they can find the list under, I think it's under community classes or community education, and they can find the links for all the prenatal classes that we teach. Or they could always call 788-MOMS, so 908-788-MOMS, and that will get them to the Director of Parenting Childbirth Education. And she can help facilitate, you know, from there, you know, meet their needs and, you know, get to one of the lactation nurses and get all their questions answered there.
Okay. Now, you mentioned that it's important to have this take hold in the first 24 hours. Do you find women are sometimes really anxious about this? And what do you do to help relieve some of that anxiety?
Well, I think most certainly they're anxious about it, right? You know, I think, like I said, becoming a new parent just creates anxiety on a whole other level, right? So, you know, what we do is we just try to re-educate them about the basics, about, you know, the first 24 hours is really about how the baby learning to breastfeed more than it is about the quantity of milk that the baby takes in. That's why that skin-to-skin is so important, that first 24 hours. The baby just needs to learn to feed. It only needs to take a couple drops in. Day two, it's going to be a little more aggressive, take a little bit more in. And that's why, you know, by day three, four, five, now we got that baby up and breastfeeding. When its stomach is getting bigger and it really needs more food, we've taken those first day or two where we've taught the baby how to feed. So now that it needs to feed, it's ready, and mom's ready too.
And the babies have a natural, I don't know if it's called suckling instinct or
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're born with that need to want to suckle at the breast.
Some of them are even sucking their thumbs in the
womb. Oh, for sure, absolutely.
Now, you mentioned something about pregnancy that maybe more women would breastfeed, at least in the United States, if there was more education during pregnancy.
Well, I think we need to educate what the reality of breastfeeding is and, you know, the commitment and what you need to do in the beginning, you know. And I really think, I don't know whether it's the demographics have changed, you know, but babies need to be close to their moms. So, you know, you can't expect to have a baby and, you know, the first 24 hours leave it in that lovely bassinet that, you know, we have in the room. The babies need to be close. They need to feel that touch.
They need to bond, yeah.
And, you know, if you spend those first 2 weeks really holding the baby skin to skin, getting breastfeeding going effectively, you're going to find that the rest of the year is going to be easier for you. So I think if we look at it that way, if we talk to the moms about really putting the effort in the first 2 weeks, mm-hmm. that the payoff is easier down the road. Clearly, you know, you could argue that formula is breastfeeding is easier than breastfeeding maybe in the first week. But if you look at, you know, there's been a lot of studies that show that, you know, formula feeding is easy the first 72 hours and breastfeeding is hard the first 72 hours. But if you look out 2 weeks, breastfeeding is easier at 2 weeks and formula feeding becomes harder at 2 weeks. Because now you're getting up, you're washing the bottles, you're cleaning that, you have to make sure all of that is done and ready to go. And by 2 weeks, your milk is in, you're feeling great, you and the baby just go wherever you want to go. Mm-hmm. You don't have to carry anything with you. Right. You're very mobile.
And it really can be a very joyful experience for the mother.
Yeah, I think it's really hard to explain to other moms who have not breastfed what it feels like to breastfeed. You know, it's definitely, for me, having breastfed three of my kids, I would never trade that experience for anything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're all very independent kids. They all, you know, sleep on their own. They're not with me. They're not looking to do anything. But I definitely did spend a lot of time in the first 6 months, you know, holding them, carrying them, lots and lots of skin to skin. And they're very independent, spirited children now.
Mm-hmm. And we talked earlier about how it's really a personal choice. Can you go into that a little bit more? Well, I know sometimes people get pressured one way or the other by their family or their friends, and you should do this. And
well, you know, I think, you know, if we're looking at, you know, breastfeeding in general, if you look at the demographics, you know, we want to do it if we're talking about, from a global standpoint, looking at promoting health and controlling the cost of health care. If we can prevent diabetes, obesity, hypertension, heart disease down the road by educating and, you know, making sure our babies are getting the best nutrition to keep them healthy adults. And the one thing I forgot to mention earlier is actually breastfeeding can prevent certain childhood cancers. So if you were to tell me that breastfeeding could reduce my child's risk of leukemia, for sure I would breastfeed. I wouldn't. Who would ever want their kid to have a higher risk of developing leukemia? Mm-hmm. So I think if we do that and actually educate them, I don't think that people fully understand the benefits of breastfeeding. You know, and I guess I'll never understand why women don't try. I understand, you know, some people, again, you know, personal choice, whether we have moms that have to go back to work in 2 weeks and they feel like, why get started? You know, they don't have the support system. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can't afford, you know, a good quality breast pump, or they don't have the hours that they work or the facilities they work in. You know, if it's a larger company, they have to provide a safe place for mom to pump, and it's not the bathroom. You know, they have to provide an area with a closed door that's private if it's a larger company. But if you're going back to a small company, you know, where they don't have that, you know, it becomes very difficult. And I think the moms think that, you know, just because of my environment, I just can't do it. Or they don't have a supportive environment. I really think to breastfeed, you need everybody in your family to support you. The husband, the grandparents, even if the grandparents say, well, you were formula fed and you turned out just fine, well, that's great. But now we're educated, we know a little bit more, and this is my decision, so can you help support me? I think you kind of have to, it's really difficult if you don't have a whole unit supporting you with breastfeeding.
Right. And it's obviously the later you're going back to work, once you've established the routine, it's going to be easier to transfer that over to your work area.
I mean, when you look at other countries and how long they breastfeed, but you also look at how long their leave is. You know, my niece that lives in Paris, she gets a year paid leave, maternity leave.
Wow.
So, you know, 6 months is full paid, and then the rest of the year is partial. So what they did is her husband could take the paternity leave, and get partial of his pay because financially it made more sense for her to go back to work. But she was able to, but she stayed home for 6 months. Well, at 6 months, breastfeeding is so easy because they're eating food and you may be only nursing 3 or 4 times a day as opposed to 8 or 10. When you go back those early weeks, it is tough.
Yeah.
It is really tough. Right. And I think that's one of the reasons moms may say, I'm not going to try, or I know I have to go back to work. This is going to be very difficult to make work.
Now, for the women in the rest of the world who are breastfeeding up to 4 years, how often are they breastfeeding a child who's over 2 or 3?
Well, it depends on where they are and what demographics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they're in more of a third world country where there's not a lot of access to clean food supply and water and things like that, you're going to see those moms nursing longer and more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
But typically, you know, most people, once the babies are a year old or so, they're nursing once or twice a day. By the time they're 15 months old, maybe once. When they're older than that, it really is.
It's just
maybe
supplementary.
Once or twice. Yeah, it is. It's more of a comfort.
A bonding. Right.
Bonding, mm-hmm. comfort kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, for brain development, it is to the age of 2. There is mm-hmm. some research that supports that.
Mm-hmm. Do you advise women on what to eat and what not to eat in terms of producing milk, the best milk? Or
well, there's really not, we used to say all kinds of things regarding that, but there's really been no strong evidence base that says that we should limit our diet. The amniotic fluid, based on what you were eating during your pregnancy, flavored it. You know, so if you ate spicy foods while you were pregnant or garlic or whatever, the amniotic fluid, it tasted like that. And that's how breast milk works. So whatever you eat, it flavors your breast milk.
Right.
So if you're somebody that eats a very, you know, spicy, eclectic diet, that's what your baby's used to. So there's no point in really changing it. The pediatrician sometimes will still say they want you to stay away from the lunch meat, the Listeria, you know, those kind of things. But for the most part, there's no...
So if you're eating foods, I think it's called cruciferous foods, like cauliflower, broccoli, whatever, Is the baby likely to get a little gassy? Or
there's no, there's no strong research that supports that. But okay. I'll tell moms, if you notice a pattern, like, and you're going to learn your baby, you know, every time you eat X, your baby doesn't sleep that night, and you kind of chart it, and then you'll be like, okay, I'm no longer going to eat spaghetti sauce for until this baby's a little bit older. And a lot of times those things that you had early on, like the first 2 months, by the time the baby's 4 to 6 months, the gut lining closes and is less permeable. So even if, you know, tomato sauce bothered the baby when it was 2 months old, it's not necessarily going to bother the baby when it's 4 or 6 months old. So you could always reintroduce it into your diet later on. If you have a strong family history of food allergies, the most common thing that the babies are allergic to or have issues with would be dairy products. So in those cases, you're going to see the babies have severe eczema. They may even have a little blood in their stools. And that would be something you clearly want to talk to your pediatrician about and possibly remove dairy from your diet.
Mm-hmm.
So that could go back to another reason that might be a personal choice for mom. If you have a kid that has, usually they're allergic to dairy and soy, and that's really difficult to completely remove from your diet. So that could be a reason that we may not want to breastfeed.
Okay. We're going to take another commercial break, and we'll be back soon.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, we're back with Karen McClellan. This is Tracy Ivey on Hunterdon Medical Center's Wellness Hour. Karen, what about medication, alcohol, things like that when you're breastfeeding? How does that affect the baby?
Most medications are actually safe to take while you're breastfeeding. Usually the best places, if you have some questions to ask, would be your pediatrician, your obstetrician, or you could always call one of the lactation nurses up at the hospital, and we can give you the information regarding a specific medication. Usually we advise the ones that you want to stay away from would be allergy medications that have like a decongestant in it, like a Claritin D versus a Claritin, something along those lines, because anything that can dry up nasal secretions can actually decrease your milk supply. So you want to be careful with some things like that. So for allergies, sometimes it's better to use like a nasal spray, like a Flonase, Nasonex, you know, those kind of things versus a heavy-duty decongestant. Caffeine is fine. Years ago, when I first got into this, we used to tell moms to restrict caffeine. But there's no evidence base that says you need to do that. So go ahead and have your coffee or tea. That's fine. And as far as alcohol goes, it's typically it's one drink, 1 hour. So if you have your meal, you have your nice glass of wine with it because you're celebrating. Usually within an hour, that's out of your system. You can go right back to breastfeeding. Years ago, they used to tell you had to pump and dump, you know, so you'd empty your breasts if you drank alcohol. But that's also not true. No evidence to support that. So, you know, one glass of wine, 1 hour, one beer, you know, it's out of your system. I tell moms, obviously, if you haven't had a glass of wine and it hit you and you feel a little loopy because you haven't had anything in a couple months, just wait until that feeling passes. So it may take you a little bit longer, but typically it's one drink, 1 hour.
Let's talk a little bit about supplementary bottles. Do some women sort of do a hybrid type solution?
There is, and, you know, I'm a definite proponent of, you know, whatever breast milk we give to that baby is good. So, you know, I tell working moms that, you know, we can come up with a solution that fits your needs, that's going to work for you, and make you happy and be a successful story for you about defining your goals as a mom. So if you're working and, you know, it doesn't allow you, the job that you have doesn't allow the time for you to be able to pump the way you need to, you can, because breastfeeding is a supply and demand. So the hours that you're at work, we can decrease your supply, but still keep your demand so you could breastfeed in the morning before you go to work, when you come home, and then when you put the baby to bed. So there's no right or wrong answer to this. You know, yes, I would prefer, you know, the pediatricians would say breast milk all the time is our first choice, but as long as we're getting some breast milk in and as long as I have a happy mom, then we're meeting our goals.
Right. So for the example that you were just giving about waiting an hour after you've had a glass of wine or something, so that would be a perfect example of when you'd want to bring formula.
Right. If you want to bring some formula, or if you had some milk that you expressed from mm-hmm. a day before, or you know you were going to have date night, you know, finally out with your husband, if you wanted to, you know, bring some milk with you or leave it, you know, that's all fine. There's no right or wrong answer to any of this.
Right. Which brings me to another question, sort of trends in breastfeeding. You mentioned a couple of things already that we used to be told, and now things have changed. Are there any trends that you, other trends that you can think of, changes in the way women have been breastfeeding over the last few years?
Again, I think the trend is that you're seeing more and more moms wanting to breastfeed, and being more successful at it because of the whole, you know, trying to eat cleaner, healthier, that kind of thing. I think it is more accepted in society a little bit than it was before. And I think it's interesting that really only in the United States is it viewed, breasts are still viewed much more sexually than they are in other countries. So I think a lot of moms sometimes have trouble with that, you know, while they're out breastfeeding in public. But in New Jersey, you're protected. You actually, there is some legislation that protects breastfeeding moms. Not every state has that, so which I think is crazy. I think it's crazy that we actually have to have legislation that says we need to protect.
So if a woman decided she needed to breastfeed in a restaurant, she's not going to be arrested.
Right, which she cannot be arrested in New Jersey.
It does happen in other states.
It can, but not here in New Jersey.
Has.
So.
So getting back to the idea that you said it can be very personalized. What's good for one woman might not work for another, and you can come up with solutions.
Yeah, we really can. So, you know, for me, the bottom line is, you know, if I don't have a happy mom, I can't have a happy baby. So is there a way that we can make the efforts for breastfeeding match what her other goals are that she has, her other responsibilities are? You know, and then, you know, we have moms that, you know, when they were younger, you know, decided to have breast augmentation surgery done or implants. And sometimes that affects their production if the surgery wasn't done exactly the way it was. And, you know, I tell those moms, you know, you made the best decision you could make for yourself when you were 20. Okay, now that you're 30 and you had your first baby, let's make that best decision. So does it mean that you breastfeed half the time and your baby gets formula half the time? Well, then that can be a success story for you based on your history. So, you know, I think basically breastfeeding plan has to be individualized to meet the mom and the baby's needs. I don't think you can have a blanket
right
statement.
So if a woman did have breast augmentation, she can still breastfeed then?
She can. It's a case by case. We have to, you know, we'd have to talk about what kind of surgery she had and make sure everything was still intact. But, mm-hmm. yeah, absolutely. And, you know, years ago I had a mom who had breast cancer in one breast that received radiation in one breast and then went on to have children and breastfed three children completely from the other breast. To me, that was an amazing success story. Here's this woman in her, you know, late 20s, had breast cancer, kind of a strange one, not a classic breast cancer, and then a few years later got married, had kids, and went on to breastfeed from one mm-hmm. breast. So, you know, you can make things work anyway.
Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask, when women come back for the support groups, the first Thursday of the month and then the baby steps, what are some of the most common comments that you get about breastfeeding from them?
You know, still, some of the moms are just trying to get comfortable with breastfeeding in public, and sometimes the support group is one of the first places they try that because they feel safe there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they're still so worried about the weight gain. They want to make sure the baby's gaining weight. So with us having the baby scale there, they can, in between their well visits with the pediatrician, they can just get that other validation that they are doing what's best. And then the other big thing is sleep. They all want to know when the babies are going to sleep.
Yeah. Doesn't everyone? There's no quick, easy answer for that one, is there?
No, there isn't. I remember when my kids were little, and I said, I just want to get a good night's sleep. And my mom said, well, just wait, because then they're going to be teenagers. And now I'm in the teenager stage. Right. Now I'm worried. I'm waiting up for them to come home. So now it's a different kind of lack of sleep.
Right. Now, what happens when you go out and you meet new people? What is the general reaction when you say you're a lactation consultant?
Most people want to share their stories about breastfeeding. And people that formula fed sometimes are resistant. They think I'm going to come after them and be like, oh, you're a heart, and I'm not. I just, if I can help anybody be successful at breastfeeding, that's really what I want to do. And that was another reason why I got, I went down this road, because I was the first person in my family to breastfeed. So my husband had been breastfed, so he was all supportive of it. And with my first, I had no idea what I was doing. I was home from the hospital less than 4 hours. Got out the phone book. I called a bunch of people, and I had somebody come and do a home visit with me and just validate that I was doing things the right way, because I was so overwhelmed as a new mom, and realized I was really doing everything right. It was just my nerves and my anxiety over being a new mom and not having that support person to go to, because my mom, I didn't have anybody to ask.
And what about in the hospital? There, you didn't get too much
help there? I didn't, because I delivered not in Hunterdon County, at a much bigger city-type hospital setting.
Right.
And I didn't get that personalization that I think Hunterdon gives our moms. There wasn't that one-on-one. I didn't have anybody sit with me for a whole feeding while I was in the hospital, just because their volume was too much. And being at home, when I had somebody come and sit for the whole feeding and said, no, you did everything right, I was like, okay, then I guess I can do this.
You just needed the validation and support, just somebody to say, yes,
you're doing this. This is how you do it. How do you know? You've never done it before. Mm-hmm. So because I just want, if somebody wants to breastfeed, I just want to help them reach their goals. I don't want to put my opinion on anybody. I just want to help them. And I think that's where most of us come from at Hunterdon, is we want to help you meet your goals. What are your goals?
Now, are there other lactation consultants there? Or are you the only one?
No, we have several. We kind of job share the position because most of us have children that we're raising. So we kind of work our schedules around to have coverage for that. There are a couple days a week that we have two nurses there so that we can see our outpatient moms that need to come in and still meet the needs of our inpatients.
So it must be pretty rewarding for you, especially since you went through it yourself, so that you have personal experience.
Oh, it is. It's, it's funny, because, I live and work locally, and some of my children's teachers I've seen come through, and going to back to school night, one of the teachers was like, I know you. You help me breastfeed my kids. And I just laugh. And, I think my poor boys are going to be so embarrassed someday when they figure it all out, But, I love when I see the moms, in the community, and they say stuff like, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have been successful. And, the kids are 4 or 5 and they've gone on to have others. And yeah, it is really nice that they know me and recognize me, and you feel like you make a real difference and just help transition into motherhood.
Right. Okay, we're coming to the end here, so let's go over once again how someone can learn more about classes at Hunterdon Medical Center, or if they have any questions about breastfeeding, if you could give the phone number and website address again.
The website is hunterdonhealthcare.org, and if they go under community education, they can see the links for all our prenatal classes. Mm-hmm. And they can call the 908-788-MOMS, and that's Jean Gemelli, Director of Parenting and Childbirth Education. And she can get you in touch with the lactation nurses or the breastfeeding classes. And we also do a one-on-one working class. So, like, if mom is going back to work, we'll do an individualized class, meet one-on-one, like a consult session with her and help her set up a plan individualized for her, like a working mom class. So we have all kinds of resources.
So it's individualized and there's a class.
Yeah, it's what we call, we used to do a class, like working mom's class, but we decided it was just better to meet with that mom and everybody with their commute time, and kind of, it's just so different. And I think you have, that really needs to be individualized, where we look at your day and your structure and how can we make this work for you.
Right, so, help the transition and make them successful.
Yeah,
now, is there anything else before we close that you want to say that I might have forgotten to ask you about, or... That would, I think we've covered a lot of territory.
Yeah, I just wish, I guess, you know, anybody that, if they are struggling with breastfeeding, please reach out to us. We'd love to help you meet your goals. And to new moms who are expecting, I say the best thing I could tell you for breastfeeding is lots and lots of skin to skin. And just commit for 2 weeks and work out those kinks that get in the way and get up and running, and you'll never regret it.
Once again, that number is 908-788-MOMS, M-O-M-S. Thank you very much, Karen. It's really been great having you
here. Thanks for having me. It was a great time.
You spearhead a really wonderful program.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-01.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Russian meddling in the elections was certainly a serious incident. We talked about it in the discussion we had with Minister Lavrov yesterday.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson talking to reporters about a meeting with Sergei Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, regarding a variety of issues, including Russian meddling in the election. Tillerson said the Russia really didn't understand how serious the situation is.
And trying to help them understand just how serious this incident had been and how seriously it had damaged the relationship between the U.S., the American people, and the Russian people.
North Korea is threatening thousands-fold revenge on the U.S. over new U.N. sanctions. The country's media is calling the sanctions a frontal attack and a violation of sovereignty. North Korean finances and exports are being targeted in retaliation for the communist country's continued missile and weapon testing. USA Radio News.